Good ways.
Welcome to the Good Ways podcast. I'm Alexis Morin. With me here, I have Bronte and Maddie Norris. Bronte has already been on the potty before. Maddie, it's your first time. So tell us, sis, who's your mob? Where are you from?
My name's Maddie Norris. I'm Bundjalung Yuin Wiradjuri, and I grew up across lots of different suburbs of Sydney.
Nice. Can you intro yourself again for us, Bronte?
I'm Bronte, proud Bundjalung Wurundjeri woman. Grew up everywhere like Mads, but mainly in Redfern, Waterloo.
Yeah, nice. I'm Waka Waka and Yuin. I grew up in Sydney, but I'm currently living in Brisbane at the moment. So podcast today, obviously we've got all black women, which is really exciting. We kind of wanted to talk a bit about, you know, our life as black women, you know, our experiences, what we've been through, but also, you know, share the positive, you know, kind of stuff as well. The first thing I kind of wanted to talk about with you, Mob, was matriarchy, black matriarchy, and what that looks like in your families. So I might start with you, Maddie. Who is kind of the women in your life that inspire you and give you strength?
God, honestly, I don't know where to say. Oh, no, not God's not the answer. But no, yeah, okay. Yeah, God gets a shout out as well. My mum, bless her. I love my mum. I love my sister. I've got lots of siblings. I'm the eldest of four of us. And I've got a 10-year age difference between my brother, 12 between my sister, and then 17 between the youngest one. I don't know. That's such a big question, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, in my family, I've got a lot of cousins, and I've got my mum and my sister, and they, I feel like, immediately probably are what inspire me. But then even kind of broader than that, like, I have a really big friendship group, and then I've been lucky enough to have managers and co-workers as well that predominantly have been black women, so...
Yeah, it's so special really to have that, hey, like in the workplace and not just your family. Bronte, how about you? Is there any women in your family that inspire you? It doesn't have to be your family, but who do you really look to as like a role model?
I would have to say my nan. She just, her strength I can see in my mum, and I can see her strength in me and in my little sisters. She was kicked out of school at 13 and had to teach herself how to read and write. And she's gone now. She passed away when I was quite young, but the knowledge that she was able to give me, even in those first few years of my life, is something that I carry with me all the time. Like, everything I do now, I try and do it for her, and I try and remind myself of the fact that she never got to do the things that I got to do. For example, going to uni, it's what she wanted, you know, for mum. Mum couldn't go, she didn't have the opportunity to go, and I could. So yeah, I graduated a few weeks ago, and
congrats.
But all I could think of, I was the graduate speaker, and all I could think of while giving my speech is I wish my nan was there. But yeah, I gave her a shout out, and I don't know what's up there, but I hope she was watching.
Yeah. I'm such a big believer in that, hey, because, like, yeah, I have such a special bond with my mum and my nan, but also my nan's mum, I still feel, like, really connected to. And just because they speak about her so much, and they draw, you know, their strength from her, and I kind of feel that connection too, as if I knew her, like, and I hear all these stories, and I don't know, I think it's really special. And yeah, it's not just black families that have that, obviously, but I think it's knowing what they went through, you know, and kind of, yeah, drawing inspiration from that is a really special thing. So we've all got siblings. You're an older sister. What is that like? I'm the youngest, so I kind of don't have the same perspective that you have.
Oh, it's like proper exhausting, to be honest. They're all still kids. So, like, it's like for my family, it's different because I guess I've kind of got semi an auntie role with them just because of the age difference. Like, I'm an adult. I don't know why I have to explain that.
Over 18.
I am an adult. Actually, it's like almost like reaffirming to myself, eh? No. Yeah. What's it like being an older sister? It's really rewarding because I feel like I'm able to share so much with them. I feel like that's what inspires me, because I know that when I was my little sister's age, I would have loved to have an older sister that was kind of showing me the way. So, I don't know, I like to keep them in mind, and I hope I make them proud. Yeah, I really do. So.
Of course, yeah. How about you, Bronte? What's it, siblings?
Yeah, I'm an older sister as well. Yes, I resonate.
The older sisters.
I resonate with that so much, though. Like, doing what you're doing just to make them proud. And I'm the same. I didn't grow up with people who look like mum or my nan around. And when I was growing up, it kind of meant a completely different thing to be Aboriginal.
Yeah.
And I think so I have two younger sisters. One's dark and one looks like me. And with my sister who looks like me, it's really interesting to be able to have those conversations because I couldn't really look to anyone to have those kinds of hard conversations where you're trying to figure out your identity. She's only in year six, mind you, but she's a big woman now.
That's it. Yeah. I feel like it all changes in year six as well.
It does.
Don't you reckon? Like, yeah. I remember when my little sister Tia went into year six and it was like such a transition. I remember like that age, like good ways. Mm. Oh, good ways.
Good ways.
Good ways. Plug. Like nothing bad, but I remember that was like very much like, oh wow, they're like kind of becoming a little woman there. Mm.
Yeah, we spoke about that a bit, hey, of like those moments when you kind of notice when you're like becoming a teenager and becoming a woman. When's kind of the moment that you realize like, oh, I actually feel like a teenager, like I'm not a kid anymore, I'm like a teenager now? And then onwards from that, when you felt like, oh, okay, shit, like I'm a woman now? Because I kind of don't remember going through high school being like, yeah, I'm grown now, like I didn't feel it until I was like past the age of 21 being like, yeah, I feel like I've like matured now, like my brain's developed, you know.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment or like just a memory of you're like, yeah, okay, I feel a bit more mature?
There are a few ones that actually like kind of sprang to mind. I don't know how interesting they are, but Lex and I went to school together, went to high school together, and our school didn't have a uniform. And I remember preparing at like in the year six holidays for what outfit
what
I was going to wear on the first day.
The stress of it.
Yeah, and my mum and I went to Sports Girl, and I still remember the fit that I picked out and everything, but I obviously that's not when I became a woman, but I remember for me that felt like
having your own style, right?
Yeah, kind of like coming into who, like how you want to express yourself, how you want to look, how you want people to kind of interact with you. That was really interesting.
Yeah,
being able to like have a bit of freedom with that at that age, I think, because we didn't have uniforms, so it was like, oh my god, what am I going
to
do?
And it was like, oh, you had to buy like branded stuff. Like, here's me going to Kmart.
Yeah, no, that's it. Well, I was lucky too, because like we used to do a lot of Vinnie's shopping. Vinnie's is mad expensive now. Can we talk about that after? Why is it so freaking expensive? Because now it's Kmart days for me. But Vinnie's used to be great, and I used to be able to pick up like cool vintage things. Mum has a really good taste, so like she's got really good style, I reckon. So
yeah, I love
that. Used to be able to pick out some stuff. But I remember like rocking up with my little knitted beret, feeling like a real proper woman, getting the train to school in the morning as well.
Love that. I actually remember in high school thinking that you you were like alternative, like fashion girly.
Shut up.
Because I think it's because you were the year above me that like, I don't know, I kind of just saw that you had that freedom and like you were expressing yourself, and like I hadn't reached that level yet, I think.
I was also like a theatre kid, like, so like you can just imagine.
You're just cool.
You can just know.
I thought you were cool.
Oh, that makes me stop it. I thought you were cool.
Oh, bless. How about you, Bronte? Was there a time where you're like, okay, I'm grown now, or have you not reached that yet?
I'm getting there. I think this is my first full-time job, started at the start of the year. I think...
Congrats.
And I'm paying rent now. I'm paying bills now.
That's not a fun one.
No. I think, I don't know, I'm still getting there. But I do remember when I got my first period and the way that black mum's like, oh...
Did she tell everyone that you got yours? Because mine did.
She told the house, but she cried.
Yeah.
Aww. And bought me flowers.
Yes. That's so sweet.
It was quite nice. So I think then I kind of was like, all right. Like, you know?
It's like that next step, hey.
What about you, Liz?
Womanhood. I feel like, working full time, I think, was a big one. Like graduating uni and just, paying bills. And just, like, all of that responsibility. And I think, like, being the first one to graduate, you know, uni and finish high school and then get a full-time job was, like, I don't know, it was kind of felt, like, out of my comfort zone because I hadn't seen anyone in my family do that before.
Yes,
let alone, like, no, to be fair, like, my mum was a really hard worker. But, going through the uni stuff, like, not that it was isolating, but it was just like uncharted, you know, waters.
Yeah, totally.
So kind of to do that on your own, yeah, it was scary, but like really rewarding at the same time. So I kind of had to, felt like I had to like grow up quick because I'm like, yeah, got no one else to talk to about this stuff. So I've just got to go through it alone. So I guess, yeah, that's kind of when I felt like, gonna put my big girl boots on.
I feel like black women, like we also have to grow up so bloody quickly.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if that's that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like I feel like we've always almost been more mature than our age because we probably have to take on more than our peers potentially.
Like when I was growing up, we moved everywhere. I went to 6 or 7 different primary schools, and I really I understand that completely. Like I feel like I really had to grow up, and I was being exposed to things that, I don't know, a young teenager shouldn't see, like just the heavy traumatic experiences, especially living up in Alice and like Darwin and Bow Desert, my mob's country, like that really formed my, I guess, the idea of what an Aboriginal woman, what to expect, seeing those traumatic experiences.
Yeah.
I remember when I was quite young, actually, in Bow Desert, and my uncle wouldn't get served at the shops.
Wow.
And I thought, fuck, like, is this what it's like? Like, is this what our life is
like? You take those, like, really pinnacle moments from your childhood and it, like, sticks with you too. And
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, you know, like, coming from a big family, there's just always kids around. So you kind of just have this inbuilt kind of, like, maternal instinct, right? Like, you're looking after everyone. And I saw my mom do that and my nan. So it's kind of just, like, yeah, you become, like, a really caring person. Like, black women, I feel like, are so nurturing that they just look after everyone else before themselves.
Yeah.
Which I see with you do, like, with all your siblings and, like, being a role model and, like, yeah, it's a lot. Like, I've got 10 nieces and nephews. and mum's always putting the pressure on me to be like, you've got to be a role model, you know, like, you're the first to do all this stuff. And, you know, it's pressure, but I feel like it's a good, like, motivator at the same time to, like, you got to show up for your family. And it's, like, kind of not, like, breaking a cycle a little bit, hey, like...
Massively, for sure. I'm the same as well. I'm the first person in my family to graduate high school and go to university. Not that I finished uni, but that's another yarn. We'll get back there one day. I'm doing all right though.
No,
yeah, no,
more than all right.
But no, it was interesting. I think again for me too, being the first one to kind of charter that water. But it's kind of nice sometimes to be able to not. Or like to be able to kind of see it outside yourself.
Yeah. While we're still talking about teenage years, what's something you think your 16-year-old self would say to you now? Or what would they think of like where you are in life now?
I think they'd be really proud of me. I could have easily gone on a different path. And yeah, I think 16-year-old Bronte would be really, really proud of who I am now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Mum would hate me to be no, I think I'd be really proud of myself as well. Like I remember when I was 16, I was so excited to finish high school by that point. Like I was really like keen to kind of get out there in the world. I wanted to travel, I wanted to be involved in like creative things, so I had like big dreams, big plans. But I think it's also because, like, my mum really instilled a lot of confidence in me. I remember she used to always say, like, a little mum motto. She used to say, put love in your heart and a smile on your face and you'll be fine.
Aww.
And so it kind of, I try to keep that every day.
Yeah.
And just, it makes it feel a little bit less.
Yeah, it makes a difference for sure.
Totally.
Yeah. I think, yeah, I kind of had, like, that kind of realization movement moment when I moved to my first house out of an apartment and I was like, oh, like I kind of like in my own mind had like a list of like things that I wanted to achieve and I was like, you know, like I have a stable income, you know, I've got the job that I really want to be in, you know, I'm helping mob in an actual house that's like my own space. And it was just like a kind of like, whoa, like not like I've made it, but I was like, yeah, shit, like I can do it. Yeah, and like, because I hadn't seen that before.
Fully. So. And we've yarned about that as well. Like, we'll have like kind of, I still get like little pinch me moments when I'm like, oh my God, like we've made it.
Yeah.
We've made it sort of thing. So.
Yeah. And I feel really like
really
privileged with the job that we have, with the space that we work in, you know, we get to do a lot for our community and with our community. What's that been like for you, both of you, like working in the media? And yeah, I guess how are you liking working in a black organisation with mob?
I love it. I actually love it. I couldn't imagine what it would be like not working with mob. I think it kind of makes me feel happy and excited and comfortable to come to work every day. Shout out Shira and Amara, have been massive mentors for me as well, and my managers. I even said to Shira, and like, you know, it's more than having just a manager. It's like having an auntie and a sister and a mum, and like something all kind of rolled into one. So it's great to have that care as well, because we know how much black women care for one another and everyone else. I feel like we all make a real effort to bring someone up with us, or multiple people up with us, when we're on our journey.
That's it.
Because we know what it's like, and we're so supportive of one another. Like, we've known each other since we were like bloody like nine, go way back when. So know. You know, it's great to see everyone where they are, and it feels like I'm in the right place. You know, growing up, I really wanted to kind of be involved in film or like the media, that kind of stuff. So it's kind
of, that's what I was going to ask. Did you kind of always know that you wanted to be in like a media creative space? Like, did you know that?
No, I didn't. Oh, well, I did study marketing and media, but I didn't know at what capacity that would look like. I knew I wanted to help mob, and I knew I wanted to be around mob all the time. And I think back to that, you know, like, I consider you guys role models, like working with black powerful women. Like, I'm like, Lex is my boss. Like, I just like, how fucking cool is that to have someone like that in your life, like in a professional setting, let alone like, you know, in a personal setting. Like, it's so amazing to have that. And, you know, back to feeling comfortable. That's such an underrated, like, if you feel comfortable at work, like, you should feel comfortable every day. And a lot of people don't.
True. Yeah, that's so true.
But I just feel culturally safe here. Yeah. I feel, you know, we have, as women, we have caring responsibilities, whether that be for our nieces, nephews, cousins, whatever it is. And to work for an organisation, well, for a black company where they understand, it's a really powerful thing. And we can thrive here. And we'll bring each other up.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out Tanya.
Yeah, no, it is such an important thing. Like, just coming to work every day and feeling happy is such a major thing. Otherwise, you're not going to stay in it. Like, your heart's not going to be in it. But, yeah, I think the like, a big thing that motivates me is also, like, the content we put out and, like, you know, working with mob and, like, informing our mob. And, yeah, I think that's, like, a real privilege. But it's just, yeah, it's something you're passionate about and you get to share that. And it's, you know, just makes it more fun.
Totally. And I think as well, when I was a teenager, I've always wanted to work in, like, our cultural spaces. But I think as a teenager, when I was going into university, I ended up choosing to do law and international studies, because in my mind I was like, oh, we can change through the legal system. Or that was kind of where I was thinking. And then, you know, 21, 22, kind of had a bit of the existential crisis at uni and was like, actually, there are so many ways, there are so many different avenues that you can strategically be able to help or give voice or platform, share stories. And I kind of went back to what I was always passionate about, which was film, content, media, that kind of stuff. So,
I think it's really cool. Like, we get to do a lot of cool stuff as well. Like, recently we went to Uluru, like, to celebrate NITV 10 years, and that was really so good.
It was like a bucket list item. Like, they're literally, like, NITV is out here, like, ticking off bucket list items for me.
Yeah.
Podcast tick.
No. Yeah. I know, we're doing it all. Next question. Is there any artists, musicians, doesn't have to be just female, but anyone that's kind of inspiring, any recommendations or anyone that's inspiring you at the moment? Movies, books, songs, what's kind of your vibe at the moment?
I'd probably have to go Chelsea Watergo. She is so staunch, and I honestly think she is one of the smartest people in this fucking country.
Yeah.
Watching her on the drum just reminded me of how fucking staunch and powerful she is. Made me finish her book, Another Day in a Colony, which is a recommendation.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good. Bronwyn Carlson, Professor Bronwyn Carlson, I should say. Who else? Thelma Plum, Barker. Yes. Did you see her walk in Fashion Week?
Yes,
she did. She was amazing. So staunch. And I think she posted something. She posted one of the photos of her walking and she said, "Look, little me." The caption was, "Look, little me." Yeah. So fucking...
I get like a choke in my throat when Black Matriarch comes on. Like, it literally makes me... I can't get through a Barker song without feeling like I'm going to, like, dance and cry at the same time, it feels like.
Yeah.
I saw her recently, actually, at the Wiani Uthungadi Summit, mm-hmm. Which was in Canberra. Aunty June Oscar and the Human Rights Commission organised this amazing summit. And she came out and performed at the gala dinner, and it was a summit of about 1,000 First Nations women from across the continent. And it's... Everyone from the room had left their tables and come right up to the front when she was before me, and she was just so deadly. Like, it was really beautiful to see her come round, and we were all dancing. Like, it was so nice. Yeah. So shout out Barker.
Yeah, that's it for sure. That would have been so special though, to have like a gathering of just First Nations women in the one, you know, room. What were the kind of conversations that were happening there?
Oh my God, there was so much. So I went there on the first day. We had the youth forum. The youth forum was amazing. Like, I saw women stand up who were like 19, 20, speaking about their communities. And it was just crazy to think like that these women were so young and yet so well spoken and confident and powerful. Like, they had so much knowledge to share. So it was really beautiful that we were able to be a part of that event, but then also that there was a youth forum component of it as well. It was definitely like a fill your cup moment.
That's so special.
I love that. So how do you guys feel about potentially becoming a mum one day? Big question.
Damn.
How do you feel about
what?
Okay, I know. Because I feel like our generation is, you know, we're all going to uni, we're all working like longer, I feel like, so we're kind of having kids later in life. Well, I am, like, compared to my family, like, you know, my sister had a baby at 17, my mum had hers at 19, my nan had hers at 19, so I'm also like the oldest in my family to not have a kid. I don't know, is it something you've thought about, or are you kind of just like focusing on career at the moment? Like, I don't know, do you give much thought to kids and, you know, being a mum?
I just like full realise that I think I'm the oldest in my family as well without kids.
Me too. No,
oh
me
my
too.
God.
Yeah, apart from my little sisters.
Yeah. But like, because I'm 26 now and I do not have plans on having kids just right now. I don't know. Hey, to be honest,
it's hard,
like,
hey.
I feel like I've got enough responsibilities at the moment without having to add on another huge responsibility. And I think I'm also probably like a bit traumatized at the idea of having kids so bloody young. My parents had me when they were 20.
Mm-hmm.
Good ways. They're still together now, though. Bless them. Yeah. But
oh.
Yeah, like it's. Yeah. I think I've got more things I'd like to get amongst before having that added responsibility. And I'm sure like you guys feel the same. Like, you already have responsibilities to family and nieces and nephews and cousins and stuff, so, and siblings.
Yeah.
Adding something on.
I think that comes from growing up too fast. Like, I'm doing my growing now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't get to do that when I was younger.
Yeah.
And also, I was yarning with you guys about this the other day, but, you know, bringing a black kid into this world is fucking a scary thought.
Like, it's so scary.
For sure.
So scary.
Yeah.
So I think that has played a big role in
that
whether or not I
sad,
want kids.
Eh?
Yeah. It's something me and my girlfriends have been talking about a lot as well. Just will it be safe for them as black? Like, if we bring in black kids, will they be safe? Will they, you know, like... It's a fuck thing to have to even think about, but I think it's a reality for a lot of Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander people who want to bring kids into a world that doesn't fucking accept them.
That's so true.
Mm. Yeah, or like worrying about when they go to school, like, are they going to be like culturally safe and stuff like that? Because like we went to the same high school. I don't know if you had the same experience, Maddie, but like,
what's their name?
No, like, so just so you know, every like public school gets, when there's an Aboriginal child at that school, they get funding for that Aboriginal child to be there, right?
Yeah.
And so my mum was fighting for me to get tutored with that money, And she had to literally fight for that tutoring to happen, even though they were getting that money because I was there.
Same thing.
So she would be hounding them every single day. And if she didn't do that, I honestly feel like I wouldn't have done as well as I did in my HSC, you know, and then be able to go into uni.
Yeah.
But I, like, had to see her fight for that and be like...
God, yeah.
Like, what the fuck's going on, you know?
Yeah. Actually, I feel like I didn't really give context in my opening, but my dad's Aboriginal and my mum's half Armenian, half Korean. She was born in Germany and then moved over here when she was probably about 5 or 6 and didn't speak English. So that's just like a bit of context as to like where I come from. But I think what's also really important is if you're having a child with someone that isn't Aboriginal, making sure that person really gets it. Like my mum has always been such a staunch advocate and like really involved in community. And so I think it's important that you're, if you have a non-Aboriginal parent, they're just as involved.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah, because my mum was the one that was, you know, up at the school as well. Like,
yeah.
And she does that for my siblings now too, which is good. Like, and it's needed, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's so true. And it really, if your non-Indigenous parent helps, you know, is supportive, it can really help you blossom in your cultural identity.
Absolutely.
Mine was a bit different to yours. Like, white family are a bit...
Yeah.
I'm How's just lucky. But I'm so lucky, like, the matriarchy, mum... Nan, my great nan, like my great nan actually lived for, she passed away last year, but we had her for longer than we deserved to. She was just so amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is so fucking true, eh? And you know, like, so I had to live with the white side of my family for like my later teen years. Mm. And coming home from school after experiencing something shit like that.
Mm.
They're just like, oh, well, I don't know.
Yeah. It's
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a few times, like, I could, because I've always been quite, oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. Like, I'm learning to be, to hold boundaries and that kind of stuff now at my big age. But there would be times even where my mum would be able to pick up on situations where it might have gone over my head. Not that she'd bring it to my attention at that age, but we've gone back and we've spoken about it, you know, now that I'm an adult.
Mm.
So I think it's important.
That's so special that, she really that she's like protected so me. That. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was clued on, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I can't imagine what that would have been like being coming home to, you know, what you would expect is support and for them to wrap around you and understand it while mum doesn't understand that she's had similar experiences with racism. She also comes from a very proud people, like Armenians, we've been through it, so that would have been really difficult.
It was more so in my later years having to develop a cultural identity without having mum in my life for that little bit of time, but those were my really formative years and I had to find that on my own, and at times it was really, really hard. Similar to Jonah, I got a scholarship to go to a private school, which really fucked with my cultural identity.
Yeah.
I did not feel like I belonged anywhere. I didn't feel like I belonged at home, didn't feel like I belonged at school. It fucked with me. And it wasn't until I went to uni actually where I was surrounded by black excellence and I started feeling like myself again.
Yeah.
It's like so interesting as well when you meet people after like having gaps or whatever, or but you know, parts of your life where you might not have been so connected. I know that it's so, like, for my family there is a lot of intergenerational trauma there, and it can be hard to connect with like the matriarchs and the patriarchs and if your family and like a healthy way, because there is so much trauma. We love each other, like, and that doesn't change, but you know, it can be difficult.
I feel lucky though, like when I was young, having those really special moments, being able to live on country, they've really helped, you know, when I felt lost. And it's such a powerful thing being on country, like even from far away, just that feeling, it got me through some fucked times.
It's like being recognised.
It's a big thing. Like, identity is a huge thing for, like, your sense of belonging, hey? Like, it's just, and we have such a, you know, strong culture that I feel, like, really proud that, you know, we get to have that, because it just feels so much more special
than
saying. I was a bit different because, like, my mum's obviously a single mum and I don't really have a relationship with my dad, so I only ever knew, like, the black side. Like, I I only have my black family. I don't really know their, like, you know, white side. So, yeah, I kind of felt really strong in my identity in that sense. But, and I think that's why the matriarchy is such a big thing in my family, because all the women have that responsibility of, like, carrying on that, like, that identity and culture and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a big thing. But, yeah.
That was really nice.
Tell us about a funny time. Was it with your cousin? Was it with your sister? Something you got up to.
I remember my cousin Abby also during one of those school holiday periods. She's like a real goth. So one of those country goths. Does anyone have any country goth cousins? I got a country goth cousin. Love her to death, actually. But she got a tattoo gun that summer holidays off eBay.
Off eBay.
Surely that's illegal.
It probably was. I don't know. Maybe check that next. Yeah, she got a tattoo gun off eBay those summer holidays, and I was allowed to tattoo a bird on her leg.
You did it?
I did it.
Did you get in trouble?
No, my dad gave himself a tattoo on his leg. It was really stupid, though. My mum fucking hates it. It's a noughts and crosses, but no one wins. I was like, what the... I was like, why would you do that? And then he did his name in craft, like my like Kai and Tia, my brother and sister's names, because he already had my mum and my name on his arm, but that was a proper tattoo, so garage touch with the fam.
I'll
think of something more wholesome to share. Go on, I want your stories, that way you can give me a bit of like leadway.
All right, I've got a few. So we're yarning about this, but having a naughty cousin, and mine was older, and I always thought she was so fucking cool, like, she was, but she was naughty.
Yeah.
So, this is pretty fucked up. I don't, okay, so, she came.
What happened?
So, she came down from Darwin to live with us.
Yeah.
She's been naughty. She's a naughty cousin.
Had a cousin that's with them.
Multiple.
Yeah. And anyways, she wasn't allowed a phone or anything because she was naughty. And my mum had a laptop for work, and she stole my mum's laptop.
What was she?
She was like 15, 16.
Yeah.
Staunch.
But she would not let me tell. So I knew she had the laptop under her bed. And this isn't even funny. This is a bit traumatic.
And then none of my good family memories.
My mum was like, Bronte, just tell me the truth. Do you know where the laptop is? And I snitched on her.
Did you?
And then she had to move back to Darwin.
Oh, no. How'd you feel? How old were you when you snitched?
I was young. I was in year six, my formative years. Year six.
So you snitched. Memories.
So that was... Okay, that wasn't even funny. I'll give you...
Did she get angry? Wait, no. Did she get angry at you for snitching? I got it. Like, I'm like delving deep. I'm getting all Carla Grant with this story. I've got an investigation.
Would you guys have snitched, yes or no, on your naughty cousin?
I'm so bad at lying to my mum. I still can't lie to her.
That's the part that would have got me. Yeah. She's like, just tell me the truth.
Because I would have gained
it. Even if I didn't snitch, even if I was like, no, I don't know, she would have...
Yeah, she would... You're fucking lying. Tell me where it is.
Yeah. She told me... Like, I remember there's, like, still that, like, running lie amongst my siblings where it's, like, mum can just tell when you're lying. It's not even a lie, though. She's, like, really on it. So I probably wouldn't have been able to get away with without... I would have been smelt out.
We laugh about it now, but at the time it was, like, the biggest scandal in our family. My cousin's stealing the laptop.
No, dead set. That would have been... It's, like, not... a great plan, but like, fair enough, she was a child. under your bed.
My other one would probably be, so me and mum, we've reconnected over these past few years, and she hasn't met my man yet until recently, until my graduation. Anyways, we saw each other for the first time in a few years at my graduation, and we had the whole, you know, reunion. Like, she was really emotional, we both cried. Blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
That's really special.
Yeah. It was really special.
It's such like a, again, special moment in your life, but then also like for your family as well, like graduating. Yeah.
Because we would.
Movie moment right there.
Yeah, we'd talk, but we just didn't really see each other. Mm. So it was really, really special to see her again. And I really wanted her there, and I'm really, really glad that she was there. So Jack, my partner, my man, he was going, obviously, and his family. So my plan was for them to meet, and Jack would nudge me. He's like, when am I going to meet your mom? Like, come on. And I was like, just shut up. Like, chill out. I'm taking my time.
None of your business.
And then mum was like, they're going to think I'm shit. She was like, no, yeah, she was, this isn't the funny part, by the way. She was like really nervous. She's like, because Jack's mob as well, but they've grown up differently to how mum and I grew up. She just kept saying, they're going to think I'm shit. They're going to think I'm shit. I'm so fucking nervous. And we both just cried. I'm like, oh my God, don't fucking think that. Like, your daughter's graduating. Despite our ups and downs, like, you've been such an amazing parent and role model. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I was getting my cap and gown on, and she just couldn't stop crying. So she was like, Bronte, like, I'm gonna go have a smoke. Like, this is fucking stressing me out. Mm. And her one thing was, she doesn't want them to see her smoke. Anyways, as she was outside, like, having a smoke, they pull up, and she's like, she calls me, she's like, Bronte, I fucking think this is them. What the fuck? Like, I can't light it out. I can't fucking do anything. And then they met, and it was fine. Like, it was all good. Mm. But she was, like, stressed.
Yeah.
But now they're besties. Like, Jack's mum and her mum, they had a cry. Like, it was so... That's not really a funny story, actually. No. That's just more...
That's
a special story.
That's so special.
Yeah. And that's scary as well, I think, like, if you have your partner meet your parents too. Mm. So, like, that's really beautiful.
It was nice. What about you, Lex?
Yeah, mine's kind of similar. Like, my man's got his family's very, like, put together, you know. Mm. Like, his dad's used to be a detective.
Oh.
And he's a bit higher up now.
Really?
I don't know, he just had way more structure in his childhood than
that's
I had.
That's a good way of describing it.
And, you know, having a single parent and just, not that I was nervous him meeting my family, but I just knew that it was going to be, like, way more chaotic. But I think he gets to see, like, that funny side and, like, why we're so, like, carefree, like, because, we do have a lot of trauma. Like, we do have a lot of shit go on in our, like, to this day that my mum deals with and that we all deal with. You know, my mum does a lot for our family. But I think, it's good for him to see that, you know, like, both sides.
Yeah, that's fact.
I had a similar, not, like, sad moment with my mum. But earlier this year I took her away because she's currently caring for all of the grandkids at the moment. So she's still doing, like, school drop-offs, making lunches, doing all that shit as
your
a grandma.
Like, she's...
That's a matriarch.
She does a lot. So I took her away earlier this year to the Blue Mountains, and we just had a little getaway. Just me and
just
her.
So
just me and her, and, like, booked a nice little, like, hotel and just, you know, got her to, like, just breathe and, like, take a minute and, like, relax and not be, like, thinking about other people all the time. So that was really nice.
That's so beautiful.
So I'm trying to, like, treat her as much as I can because she doesn't get it often. Like, I mean? So it's, I feel like
it's... Look at that black woman nurturing coming out of you. That's so special. It's what she deserves.
Because
I think about, you know, going out for drinks with my friends or going to a nice restaurant, Mum didn't get to do that.
I feel the same way. Like, they just didn't have the life that we have now. Like, and I guess that's with, like, having kids earlier in life. Like, they just... didn't have, like, they didn't get to travel, they didn't get to, like, go shopping for themselves and, like, you know what I mean? So it's completely different. Mm. Yeah.
I know my parents are going to be so looked after in their retirement if I'm any kind of success story, good ways, next. I want them to be able to, like, live a really cushy life because they had a lot of really difficult things to deal with as kids and then starting adulthood mad early.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, honestly, like, they probably didn't even really have, teen... I feel like they went from being teens to being adults and adults in their teens sort of thing. So
to, like, parents.
To parents, yeah.
Away.
Like,
it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
We're going to throw it a bit of a game now. Question bowl time.
Have you ever seen her?
What's the best way to...
Yeah, go on. Give us your question.
Good ways.
Oh, what's the most beautiful place you've visited?
Oh,
that's a good one.
That's hard though.
So hard.
For me, it's you and country.
I was gonna say that because that's Jack's country as well.
True. True.
So we on family
Same
holidays.
With Maddie.
We're going on all of our family holidays.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because his auntie is like does the land council.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So that's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay, should we I was
like racking my brain, but as soon as you said that, it like literally just threw me back to like camping with Uncle Peter down in Bootery National Park and the mornings there. I remember actually when we went down to go fishing there, we were like walking down this path and we saw like the sun coming through the water and a pod of dolphins swim by.
Aww.
And I remember just like being like, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
And that was really cool actually as well, because I got to go with some girls from uni too. So
it's really special because my, I don't know how far great back, but was born at Gulaga Mountain, Tilba Tilba.
Yeah.
So she's really connected to that country. And yeah, when I visited there the first time, it was just, yeah, you know, that kind of like, you get that feel like that gravitational pull to there. And it was honestly like the most beautiful like beach that like meets with like national park. And then there's like kangaroos on the beach. And it's just like, yeah, you can't beat it.
Do you see all like the abalone and stuff as well down
there? Yeah. I still haven't tried it yet, but
I haven't either, actually.
I'm not game enough, but I'll do it one day.
All right, girl, your turn.
What's your go-to feed?
Oh, ooh. I want to think about this. I thought about it. Roasting all.
Ooh, what kind of roast? What kind of roast?
Pork roast. Or like a curry.
You fellas grow up with clams?
Clam chicken?
Yeah, clam
chicken.
Oh, fuck
yeah. I was talking to Jonah about that the other day, the little potatoes. I was asking Jonah because I've noticed a lot of mob love clams. I'm like, I don't know why.
It's delicious. It's cheap. It's convenient.
It used to be cheap. It's fucking...
Well, compared to everywhere else, though.
Yeah, true.
I don't know if it would be my go-to feed, but it's definitely like a solid go-to comfort meal. Like,
it reminds me of my childhood.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We're going to wrap up and do one more game called Green Flag, Red Flag. So we're going to have our EP kind of shout out some questions to us. And we've got to show the paddle red or green.
Oh, my God. It's like the Black Ellen show.
I love that.
I love it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I love it.
I was looking forward to this bit the most.
Yeah. The Aries, the competitiveness. It's not even a competitive game, though. I just love a game.
I just love a game.
Love a game. Love the sports. No.
Okay. Red flag, green flag. Saying slay at work.
Big slay.
Okay, biggest slay.
Rachel our team says it every day.
I have all the corporate affairs using the biggest slays. Big slay, little slay, all the slays. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Loves it. It just expresses exactly how I'm feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Having a mullet.
Fuck. I've recently come round to it. Recently.
Depends on your head.
That's true. Nah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I think it depends your facial structures. I'm not totally against them.
No, I'm sticking.
Okay. No, you're not a fan of the mullet.
Wouldn't let your man get a mullet.
Yeah. Nah. What would you do if your man got a mullet?
He wouldn't. Otherwise, we wouldn't be together.
Oh like my
if
God,
he had
that's
that,
facts.
Yeah.
Being able to fall asleep anywhere.
Oh. Yeah. Wait, is that
in public?
No, I don't like that.
I feel like that's a superpower, no?
Keep alert.
Like, that's. You're traveling, you know, like you can just fall asleep anywhere.
Oh. Look, I think I've got a red flag out of like jealousy because I've got to have like a melatonin before I like go to sleep. Pop a little pill.
Yeah, I do love a good nap. So
yeah.
Biting into ice blocks.
Oh, no.
Fuck no.
Yeah, that makes me shiver.
Yeah, my gums cannot.
FaceTime cold call.
I love it.
Oh, it depends. If it's my friend,
it depends.
Yeah. I'm going to go red just to be safe.
If it's my friend, cold FaceTime calling me, I know some shit's gone down.
Oh, true. I'm changing my mind.
I'm like, I get like a little rush go through me and I'm like, oh my fucking God, what's the tea?
Yeah. I'm one of those people that will just let the phone ring out.
If I don't recognise the number, like if I have a safe number, I just stare at it for like 5 seconds and I'm like, I hope they text
because
it's not getting answered.
Choosing barbecue sauce over tomato sauce.
Depends what. If you're talking bacon and egg roll, barbecue, meat pie, tomato sauce. Do you know what I mean?
I kind of vibe with that. It depends what mood for me, but I would never have tomato sauce on a bacon egg.
No, yeah, that's no. That's
like
illegal.
I have barbecue.
Right. Yeah, jail, jail.
Sick jail. Abolition? No.
Road rage.
Yeah. Let it out.
Speak your minds. Tell me how you really feel.
Well, I'm scared. Yeah. Me crying in the back. Well, I don't have my license.
Yeah, well, that's saying 16-year-old me, going back to that question, 16-year-old me would tell me to get my fucking license.
Have you not? Jokes, I haven't either.
Oh, my God.
I've booked my driving test. Why are you proud of me?
Why
in like 2 weeks.
Not, why not
do you not have yours? Yeah.
Oh. Girls, packed this year. We're all getting our license.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
me.
Until next time. Bye.
Bye.